Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
They need to get the permission of politicians. They need to get the permission of governors, like TJ Quinn from ESPN has reported. Rob Manfred has called all the governors in the states where baseball plays, trying to get them to be on board. And something like that is really, really difficult to do, considering we don't know what the spread of the coronavirus is going to look like. On top of that, when you're playing in home stadiums, as opposed to just one location, like they could have in the Arizona plan or Arizona and Texas and Florida, you're traveling. And when you're traveling, you are exposing yourself. And when you're exposing yourself to potentially catching the virus, again, that goes back to the health and safety issues.
98.5, the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich. It certainly seems that baseball is going to resume sooner than later. In fact, Arizona has said starting on Friday, feel free to play here.
What was amazing is that within 30 minutes of them announcing that, 30 minutes beforehand, the state of California basically said, we're not going to have anything until at least August. And they, the universities said that there weren't going to be any on student campus attendance until the next semester. So it was weird hearing those two stories come out at almost the exact same time, although maybe one was an FU response, middle finger to the other one, seeing that I believe Arizona was after California's, which probably could have been the case.
Yeah, I don't know the huge concern about having baseball players without fans, but I don't know why Los Angeles or why California would say that they don't want that. I mean, it's a very limited amount of people. But Chris Cotillo is the Red Sox beat writer for MassLive.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, hello.
How are you guys?
We are doing well. So it does seem that baseball is going to play. Do you have any doubt that that's going to be the case?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of doubt right now, just because there seems to be, you know, a war coming between the Players Association and the league in the next few days. The players really don't like this revenue sharing proposal, which is, you know, complicated and not easy to get through and read, but it seems like it's a huge issue. The players view it as a salary cap. They're already taking, 50% pay cut to play this season based on the number of games they're projected to be. And it wasn't something that was brought up in the negotiations on day one yesterday, but as they go on this week, you know, the Players Association is going to wage war here. And I think a lot of people, Jeff Passan's been on top of this at ESPN, saying that the season hangs in the balance. You know, it's basically now comes down to a labor agreement, you know, on top of all these public safety concerns. And if those weren't too much to handle, then that could put this over the edge and at least delay the process a little bit. So, yeah, there's still a little bit of worry. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that games are going to be played, but out of all the major sports, they're definitely the closest to returning.
Hearing now, the side of the players, it almost sounds as if the way they're saying it, that there was no addressing of any kind of safety protocols. Is that true, or are they embellishing a little bit?
You know, I'm not sure. I saw a lot of different things that came out about the meeting yesterday, and I think it was just like 2.5 hours where they kind of started feeling each other out and presented that first formal proposal over Zoom or whatever, Skype, however they did it, because obviously these things aren't happening in person, which might complicate it. But, you know, the players, for them, the safety is a huge concern. You know, we heard from two players last week. Alex Verdugo, the Red Sox outfielder, was on a conference call with the beat. And then I had Colin McHugh on our podcast at Mass Live, and Colin was really interesting, saying they can't make this mandatory for players. There's too many safety concerns. There's too many, you know, people who have underlying conditions. There's players with family members who have underlying conditions. And for them, you know, it makes it really hard to say, you know, you have to come, potentially leave your family for a little bit, travel, potentially expose yourself to something that we don't know where it's going to be. You're going to be in different parts of the country, and you know, your livelihood's on the line. So there's kind of this pushback within the Players Association that these guys don't want to think of this as mandatory. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see players, especially ones who are on the real conservative side wanting to play, sitting out this season. I don't know if it's going to be a large number. I don't think it will be, but players need that guarantee of safety. I think that's first and foremost. And then you throw the salary and pay reduction wrinkle onto the top of it, and it just makes things even worse.
So if I'm a player, I'm willing to sacrifice. If I'm a player who's, you know, an average guy, and I have a salary, I haven't, you know, I'm not, you know, set for life. You think that those guys are going to not play because they're concerned with Corona?
I think it's possible. I think if you're a guy, you got to pull out, you know, the pro and con list and mark down what you have to, you know, think about. I think it's really important that you look at, you know, is this safe for me and my family? But at the same time, is my career going to be on the line if I don't go play? You know, I think that's something that these guys are all, you know, concerned about. And I wonder on the high end, if these guys have already made hundreds of millions in their career, does that, you know, change the decision for them? Maybe they feel like they're already financially set enough where they don't need to play this season. But at the same time, if you're a guy who's 26, 27 and making some of the most money you're ever making, you don't want to miss a year in your prime and then potentially be blackballed for sitting out. So it's a really complex issue. It's not even something I thought about, but I think the assumption, and the wrong assumption based on the players that we've heard from in the last couple of weeks, is that Major League Baseball is just going to, you know, as soon as they say we're going to hold the season, the players are just going to report and play with no questions. So I don't think that's correct. I think there's a lot of give and take on both sides.
So where do you imagine this going? Like, because I know that the proposal yesterday is that, what was it, the first week of July is when they imagine actual games mm-hmm. to start without fans. Is that realistic? And how do you see, like, where they're playing and everything else shaking out if there's an instance where there's a state that doesn't allow any kind of gatherings of more than, like, I mean, I know, like, Illinois, there was a little bit of an issue. And, like, how do you see all that panning out?
Yeah, well, I think on that question, you know, the default is going to be the spring training sites. Each team does have their backup. The Red Sox can go play at JetBlue Park if, you know, things are not safe here in Massachusetts. If you're the White Sox, you can go play in Arizona. Same with the Cubs, things like that. You know, it seems like the Blue Jays are going to have to play in Dunedin, which is kind of funny that they're the team that, I think in the Associated Press article yesterday, they said they're maybe the most likely team to do that because of the restrictions in Canada, and they probably have the worst spring training stadium and out of all 30 teams. So that
where the hell is Dunedin? I've never heard. I've lived in Florida. I lived there for 4 years, and more than four years. I've never heard of that city.
Well, it's gonna be a hot spot for baseball apparently in 2020. So we're all gonna get used to it, but. I think those are options, teams playing in other teams' ballparks and, you know, neutral site games. And I think everything's going to be on the table. But at this point, the goal and the best case scenario is mid-June for spring training. Spring training could, or training camp or whatever you want to call it, could be held at teams' home cities. They could be held at spring training sites. It could be held at neutral sites. Wherever they can find a place where there's enough room to play and it's safe to do so, that's where they're going to train. And then the season starting in July, and in as many home ballparks as possible. Obviously, you know, we're still right in the thick of things here, so I don't know if Fenway is going to be a possibility early on, but one thing that's certain is that there'll be no fans anywhere, at least to start the summer.
All right, Chris Curtillo, I read this story about you the other day, and this is kind of massive. So you, a couple of, I don't even know how far into this quarantine thing you started doing this, but you started auctioning off some of your own items for charity. And can you kind of tell what ended up happening? This became something that was more than just, hey, I'm going to raise, you know, a couple $100s. This kind of blew up, didn't it?
Yeah, I think wilder than I would have ever expected. You know, I think for me, it was just I'm back at my parents, hanging out with them for the duration of this. So I'm back at my childhood home in Central Mass and was just like, thinking one night, well, I kind of have a lot of autographs and memorabilia in the closet that I got when I was 14, 15, which is, you know, 10, 11 years ago. And I don't look at it really. It's all in a binder. And I thought maybe if I started auctioning this stuff off on Twitter, there'd be a market for it and people would want it. So I put a couple signed baseball cards up the first night, and with all proceeds going to the Greater Boston Food Bank, and people really got involved. And that first night, I raised like $550, and I thought to myself, yeah, I have a ton of stuff here. This could really take off. And from there, it just, you know, exponentially grew. It was a lot of my stuff that people bid on, and a lot of stuff that a lot of people in baseball were donating. Alex Cora got involved and signed some shoes and donated them, the Red Sox.
Real quick. You're selling yourself short here. First of all, it was $57,000 that you've raised, which is insane. And I don't know if it's more since then. But the second thing is that the Alex Cora story, it's more than just him. Shoes, as a matter of fact, Fred. It's more than just him donating shoes. How did you find out that Alex Cora, how did you come about Alex Cora donating those shoes?
Yeah, he actually bid on an item. So that was that was kind of a crazy. He tweeted it to me and then texted me and said, hey, let's sweeten the pot and let's throw those in. And from there, it kind of started a movement. So,
but
you know,
he lost that bid. Somebody outbid him for the card,
He was bidding on Jason Veritek signed card, which I thought was unfair because he could just text him and get one because they were teammates and he was on the coaching staff. But then Alex decided to sweeten the pot and donate his own shoes. And I think those went for, you know, $1,500. So it was simple. Someone would donate an item, I would, you know, surf the web for a good charity that I'd want to donate to, and we ended up raising like $57,000 for more than 35 charities across the country, mostly food banks, and it really got people involved. So I lost a few hundred Twitter followers over it, which I'm not that bitter about. I think it was worth it, but because I was just an auctioneer on Twitter and doing that almost exclusively for the last month. But it was really fun, and it's over now, but honestly, one of the most rewarding stretches of my life. I think I would have never expected it would have taken off like that, and I'm just happy to be the middleman in all of it and get a lot of money in the pockets of some really worthy causes.
Now that it's all done, is there anything that you're pissed off that you actually auctioned off that you're like, damn it, I should have kept that one?
Yeah, I had a card that Mike Trout signed for me in like his rookie year at Fenway, so I was in high school. That's just to make everybody else on the show feel old. But I was at Fenway for his rookie year, and he signed a card for me, and I was holding off as long as I could and seeing it in the binder, and then one night the bidding was just outrageous, so I put it up. A lot of controversy there at the end, but the final bid was for $1,310 because it beat $1,300 by $10, which was a cause of controversy. So $1,310 to the Orange County Food Bank in Anaheim. So I think when you do the math there and you look at it, you can't keep that card and keep $1,300 away from a food bank at this point. I mean, it's something that I would not feel good about. So there's a couple things I kept. I have an Ortiz that I kept and a couple guys that, you know, my dad really liked, Fred Lynn and Jim Rice and those kind of guys, because we had multiples of those that already went. So, but in general, not too many, but it's, my mom kept saying, yeah, you're going to have a son someday. He's going to ask where all the autographs went. And at that point, we're going to have to buy them all back, I guess. But
I got to start auctioning off my Garbage Pail Kids, seeing how much money I can get for them.
But are they signed? That's the thing.
Yes, Juicy Lucy signed one of them.
People were bidding crazy on some crazy stuff. I mean, we had some great guys from 98.5 and, Beatle, Sean McElroy donated some stuff that ended up, they pitched in about $5,000 between the two of them. So it was a team effort. I was just the guy behind the scenes with the spreadsheet. So happy to be a part of it.
I'll tell you what, the captain will blow your mind. Well, listen, Cora, we found out, is very cheap because he got outbid on something. Chris Cotillo, thank you so much. Congratulations on the philanthropic endeavors that you have been a part of. That's very kind of you. And look forward to baseball hopefully starting and reading your coverage on MassLive.com. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. I got an email this morning that was a survey about the YMCA reopening, and they said, as we prepare to reopen. So I don't know what they would open there. I mean, obviously not the gym, but I mean, it sounds like they're opening, at least partially.
Or the pool. Like, are pools going to be open?
I would guess not, but you know, there's a lot of after school programs, and I know there's no school, but there's a lot of people that depend on the Y, and I wonder if they would consider that, you know, sort of essential. It's interesting because, again, a lot of people depend on that for childcare or what have you. All right. We will be back in just a moment. And ravishing Rick Rude. I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and he was indeed ravishing. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you got something here?
Yeah. By the way, I was just tweeted something, and I'm not even sure if this is real, but it's a screen cap, so if someone could verify this for me. Jose Altuve tweeted, "The Players Union should not accept the MLB's proposal for a shortened season. It's too dangerous." And then he's got a response from what says is Aroldis Chapman. And it says, "Let's be real, Jose. However, the MLB resumes, it's going to be dangerous for you. I got a 101-mile-per-hour fastball. I've been practicing on a scarecrow out back just for you. He's a little taller than you, but I'll adjust. TikTok, bitch." So I'm not sure if that's true, but either way, that's kind awesome. Of funny. I'm sure the Houston guys from Houston are like, "Ah, we're cool. We can skip till next season. We don't need
yeah,
to
that's not, yeah, but, yeah, all the Astros are like, "Yeah, yeah, I get it. It's not play. Altuve's got plenty of money. You know, I don't have to take one to the chin."
That is pretty funny. So there is something that's been happening at our station. I know that Zolak, Tony Maz,
oh boy,
I think Big Jim Murray, they've been all part of this, and that is they've been jumping on the Cameo bandwagon.
Now, Hardy's Cameo on Cameo now.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
I was about to get to that. Cameo okay. is a website in which people sign up, and what happens is, let's say you're a big fan of Big Jim Murray, you can go to cameo.com. You can pay them, like, I think it's like anywhere between $20 and I think up to $50 for Scott Zolak or whatever, and they will record like a 2-minute or a minute long video for you. Like, you can give them a little bit of personal info, like, "Hey, it's my wife Diane, and they want you to say happy birthday, and she loves her dog, you know, Sparky." And they'll say that. So Hardy just jumped on this, and I guess he just started like 2 days ago, possibly. And I was sent this by a listener. Hardy actually, I think, tweeted this because one of the first cameos that he was asked to do kind of ended up going in a weird direction.
"So I wanted to let everyone know that I'm on Cameo now. My friend Maz is on there and a couple other people I know who say it's fun and they're having a good time and, you know, it's a good thing to do. And it was fine for like the first day. And then today I got a video request from somebody who has a foot fetish. I mean, it was nice that he said he had a crush on me, was flattered, but he wanted me to take my shoes off and talk about my feet. So I got to rethink some things in my life. In the meantime, though, if you want to find me on Cameo, at Hardy985, because I honestly don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this."
That would have been my favorite cameo to do. Just take a shoe off and take a video of it and just wiggle your toes and send it.
Yeah, someone sent me a video, and it was this girl who's like a YouTube person or something, where she was pumping gas, and a guy like offered her $200 to see her feet and take a picture of her feet. And she's like, "Of course. Like, here, have at it."
Yeah. Like, if I knew that I could make any kind of money just filming my feet and put it on the internet, like, especially if it's, like, anonymously, dude, that'd be the greatest thing ever. Who cares? Yeah, look at my foot. I mean, they're gross. I have Wolverine nails. Like, I don't trim them ever. So, but there you go. Hardy said this is a bad thing. I'll do all foot fetish videos for you. I got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just for you, especially, DA. We've been getting...
"Mail my shoes. Mail your shoes. Not you, but all the lovely ladies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Preferably high heels."
We've been getting pressured to do this Cameo thing. Like, everyone's like, "Hey, you on it?" No, not on it.
I know Maz was like, "You should get on it. You should get on Cameo. Pad your pockets. I wonder how much they take."
Probably not much.
Plus, I bet it's sad if no one, you know, wants you. So you got to sit there and you keep checking the email or however they get in touch with you, and just no one wants you. You got to feel pretty bad about that.
I don't think anyone would know if they didn't want you. Like, I don't think it says how many people have requested your Cameo.
Well, no, if they request your Cameo, you got to make it.
No, what I'm saying is that it's not really, oh, I mean, it's just sad for you if, like, yes, nobody's requesting you. Oh,
right. Guys, yeah, so you get on there and you're just cruising for a disappointment. I mean, you just keep, you know, refreshing and saying, why doesn't anyone want to talk to me? So, I mean, I don't like being on Twitter, let alone Cameo. So I don't need any of that in my life. I mean, I can only imagine the nonsense people would want me to say. They'd want, well, like, a video of me, like, punching myself in the face. So, yeah.
You punch yourself in the face for $10. Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I think that you can just, you can do basically, like, you don't have to do exactly what they tell you to do. I mean, look what Vince Neil did. He got everyone's name wrong, and he still got paid for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then it went viral because he was so wasted.
And then, which probably got him more money. Everyone's like, wow, if it's going to be this bad, then I'm going to want that.
And he's like, yeah, I killed a guy drunk driving, so, I mean, this is nothing. I mean, this is just me drunk. I mean, what do you expect out of it? But, yeah, I don't understand the whole Cameo thing. I don't understand it at all. Was it you that told me that you would do it, but you would make the price like $1,000?
Yep. That's what I would do. I would do it, and I would make it – I'd probably do $500. And that way, if somebody did it, I'd be like, all right, fine. But then if they didn't, hey, no skin off my back. Because the one that you may do would make up for the 20 that would have been at an affordable price. You know what I mean? So I got no problem with setting a high price. If you want it, great. No problem.
You so really, if you did $1,000 really and you get 20 of them, then you're sitting pretty. I mean, that's yeah, I mean, think about it. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you set it at 1,000, all you need is 20. So over the course of, like, how many years, I mean, to make it worth your while. I mean, $20,000, if you get $10,000 a year, that ain't hey, baby.
All right, let's go to Damon on line one. Damon, what's up, man?
Oh, yes. Hey, guys. Hey, hello. Rich, if I'm not mistaken, Damon. you said that you would... I have an offer for you to get a picture of those tootsies. You said, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a picture of the tootsies today.
Maybe I should do that, just my foot. You can go on Cameo and just have Rich Shirton Leap's foot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That would be it. And I'll just take a video of my foot and I'll talk to you while it's filming my foot. Would anyone pay for that? I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I'll do it in a second.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing Wimpy, maybe the young lady could step in some red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it squish, squish.
Mm-hmm.
Between
squishy.
The tootsies.
By the way, someone on the phone says that Ray Lewis is on Cameo. I've seen that, but it's just like Ray wishing you like happy birthday. And it's like expensive. Like, there's ones you could do as a joke. Like, I did Bobby Valentine for Mary as a joke. But like Ray Lewis, I think is $300-something. And you can't really do that one as a joke.
I mean, if you're gonna get that kind of life advice, and you're talking to a, you know, a man who's, I don't think it's anything less than a prophet. That not a prophet meaning he's making money, but he's a prophet. I mean, he can tell you all about numerology.
5, 15, 75.
All of those things. So, yeah, $300 is not a joke. Yeah, for the irony of it.
No, it's not. And sometimes they turn you down. We tried to do Jennifer Love Hewitt for somebody we worked with, and she did not want to do it. And it wasn't even anything like... We didn't ask her to do anything risque or anything. We were
no,
like,
it was
we heard you...
completely benign. And I have a feeling that it just was they couldn't get in touch with her. And then they just said she doesn't want to do it. I just think it's they, you know, promise a quick turnaround. And when that wasn't going to happen, they used the excuse that she didn't want to do it. So that's my whole theory on that thing, because it was so benign that there's no way that she would have turned it down. Then I don't know what she'd do. I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I mean, it was... There was absolutely nothing sexual at all. It was nothing.
So no, it was we heard you like simple jokes. You know, here's a joke, and we wrote out like why do the firemen wear suspenders? Because we know a guy who likes like dad jokes, and it was cut. And that was the whole thing, and they wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So if she's turning down that, I don't know exactly what she's doing. You know what are you going to do? Just you're going to hey, say you're the best. Just go on and on about yourself. That's what I want out of you. So, yeah, I don't know what she's going to do. But, yes, everyone's on Cameo. Is it just me, you, Wallach, and Felger that are not on it?
I think so, yeah. Is Beetle on it? Beetle might be on it. Yeah.
Is he?
I think it's just our show and Felger. We're not on it right now.
Yeah. So I'll put it up there for $1,000.
Yeah, I'll do a foot video for $100. Matter of fact, you can bid on, I'll have it where there's Rich Shurtleff and there's Rich Shurtleff's foot, and it'll go from 500 to 100. You want me to do a foot fetish video for you? I'm in. That's the easiest money you can give me. You know what? And for an extra 100, you can choose whatever kind of food I have around the house that I'll step in for you. I got no problem with that.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Got tomato sauce. I can sprinkle it with, shredded mozzarella. Maybe I'll just.
Yeah, you got nothing. We got nothing but time right now, so. might as well get some pervs to give you money.
If you would pay $100 for a Rich Shurtleff foot video, tweet me. Maybe there's a market. I'll do it.
Yeah. Then you got to set up a whole internet money thing and everything else.
No, I will go. I will go to Cameo if I have enough people saying they'll pay $100 to have a video of my foot. Now that I would do. Then it would be worth it.
Okay. Well, listen.
Maybe there's enough weirdos out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people with foot fetishes. If you go by the pornography sites, there's a lot of people that enjoy that. All right. So we got the stat coming up, Rich. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we have to talk about an anniversary of something that happened, a great Boston sports moment that I was reminded of because you know how Facebook puts those pictures up there. One of my favorite moments on the air. We'll relive that. Also, the top list of highest selling NFL jerseys. It's not who you think it is.
All right, so we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy to get to free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
You know how Facebook reminds you of something that you put years ago on an anniversary or something like that? This one actually was one that I had completely forgotten, or who keeps track, but 7 years ago today happened.
Over the blue line to the right circle, Bergeron driving wide, takes it in behind the net, out of the left wing circle, drops it off for Sagan to the bottom of the circle, spins and puts it on net, a stick save to Reimer. Boychuk right side, a wrist shot blocked.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
There's Bergeron, a one-timer. Save Reimer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Red Sox score! Bergeron! Bergeron! In game seven! And the Bruins win the series!
Oh, one of the best goals. And the picture I had was from the Sun, Toronto Sun. And it had a picture of Reimer on his stomach with a puck sitting right there. Oh. And it said, "The Chiefs on us." The meltdown in blow 4-1 lead, an epic collapse, lose heartbreaking game 7 in overtime. Was that the game? But you
Rich, you're breaking
you
up.
Bar and you left.
Rich, you're breaking up.
Oh, was it just me? I thought it was just me. Oh, okay.
No.
Breaking up right now?
Yeah, you were.
Is it good?
Now you're good.
Right.
Wait.
Is that the game? What? Is it out? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Hello. Here?
Yes. Okay. It seems like it's working now, but we'll see.
Oh, that's weird. All right. Were you at that game, Fred, or was it were you at the bar when you were watching that?
Because that was the game that I was at a bar, and then when they got down by as much as they got down, I left the bar and missed them tying it up. I saw overtime, but yeah. And if my wife had not been watching the game, I turned on the TV and I was like, wait, why are they saying it's an intermission? And then I went, and then I discovered that they had indeed tied it up. So, I missed out on the excitement.
So the story on that for a lot of people was they left the game. And do you remember how when, of course, they tied it up, people were trying to get back into the TD Garden and they wouldn't let them back in.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, you've left. You can't do that. I would almost rather have it the way you had it, or just not know. And then you get home and at least you were able to see, the finale live. You're able to see the overtime goal. But that was one of the better, most satisfying. I mean, ultimately the season didn't end the way anyone wanted it to. But I mean, how awesome was that? That was 7 years ago today, because it seems like that'd be fairly late in the playoffs, wouldn't it? We're like the 13th. I mean, I don't know when that's wasn't that the first round?
That was the first round.
It was.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I don't know. It's weird, but that's what my Facebook reminded me of that, and what a run that was until the end, which of course was the suckiest Game Six ever, and that's when of course we saw Chara going on the Rooster of Doom over at Canopy Lake Park after it was all done, just to cleanse his palate of everything. Well, the list of the highest selling NFL jerseys has come out. This is over the last month. The last month. So this is since, of course, free agency and everything else. What do you believe is the number one highest-selling NFL jersey?
Tom Brady, Tampa Bay.
Tom Brady is not. Tom Brady is actually numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6, because you can get the Buccaneers pewter alternative vapor. That's number 3. Geez. The Buccaneers white vapor, which is 4. The Buccaneers red, which is 5. Or the Buccaneers red vapor part 2, which is number 6.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, and by the way, Tom Brady's number 10 as well. The Buccaneers pewter alternate.
Okay. Oh, so if you add them all up, then he's number 1. Saquon Barkley.
Nope, Saquon Barkley not in the top 10.
All right, so this is – you kind of teased this before, saying it's not someone we would have thought of, so it's got to be someone from the NFL draft. It's either Burrow or Tagovailoa.
Burrow, number 8 in Bengals black.
Then I'll go with Tua.
Rob Gronkowski is number 7 and number 9. Number 7, the Buccaneers pewter alternate, and the Buccaneers red at number 9. And at numbers 1 and 2 – Tua Tagovailoa, Dolphins aqua and Dolphins white being numbers 1 and number 2. That is interesting that he is selling more jerseys than Joe Burrow, seeing that, I mean, obviously number 1 pick in the draft versus a guy that
Cincinnati.
Many people have questions about.
I mean, he's a playing
for
Cincinnati.
He's got more fans than the Dolphins right now. I mean, there's more people going to Cincinnati games than Dolphins games.
Yeah, and plus Dan makes a good point. He went to Alabama. So you got all those idiots.
There you go.
And that is the explanation right there. That might be the reason why he got such a big boost. But, so Tua Tagovailoa selling more jerseys than Tom Brady. Well, at least his Dolphins.
They don't have so many cool alternates. I just find the alternate jerseys so funny because it's such a cash grab and people buy them. Like, you have to have all the jerseys. Like, I would just think, like, morally, you would be like, I'm not buying this. Because, you know, this is obviously such a cash grab. I mean, so you have a different one for every day.
Yep.
I remember I bought a Barry Sanders jersey, which I have, and I'm too embarrassed to wear it. I just feel that I look like I'm 8 years old when I'm wearing another man's jersey. I have an Al Toon. I have a Mo Lewis. I have a Darrell Revis. I have so many that I never wear because I don't even wear jerseys to games anymore because I'm that cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, I'm like Fonzie.
There's still hope for you. If you want any kind of thing to hold on to that maybe you're going to have a fun summer. So Fenway Park has only had 2 of his concerts cancel so far, and none of them are the ones that you would have wanted to go to in the first place. I mean, there's so many great shows. I know you wanted to see Maroon 5. The 5 was going to be
coming. Oh, the 5! You know, outdoors? I mean, that's where they really shine.
I don't think they've officially canceled. So,
do you remember them at the Super Bowl outside? That's when he took his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think I would ever forget that?
I'll be still my beating memory. Heart. Mm-hmm. Oof.
So only 2 of the many concerts that were going to be at Fenway have officially been canceled, and that's James Taylor and the Dead & Company because, let's face it, they're in the demo. But I would think that
– Yeah, the Dead & Company can't play. They're all compromised.
So right. you have to cancel that pretty quick.
Yeah, if you do a certain amount of acid, then the coronavirus is instant death, so they have to stay home. They have 2 drummers.
So do the Melvins, as a matter of fact. But the thing is that Marty Walsh, you know, they've all come out and said that there weren't going to be any of these big gatherings this summer. They've canceled parades. So there's all these mixed messages to people who have bought tickets to these shows. Like, are we going to be able to, you know, use these tickets, sell these tickets, get our money back? And so far, people have not been able to get their money back from these concerts at Fenway if they have not officially been canceled. So, Fred, there is still hope upon hope that your man, Vince Neil, and his big
belly and his drunken ramblings will be able to make it to Fenway, and it might be able to close things out with a little hope here, Fred. I think we all need a little hope. We need a little
hope. Yeah, Vince Neil drank all the money, so they can't give you the money back.
So, as I said, not officially canceled. So you're telling me there is a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only show that I've wanted to go to in several years. Because if I thought, because I feel like I've been to a show like in the last couple years, but I think if I really thought about it, I haven't. So, I mean, this is not, let alone a big show. I haven't been to a big show in forever. I mean, oh, no, I saw the Police at Fenway. So I have been to a big show,
dude,
but that was
like
a long
a decade.
Time ago.
That's yeah. like, that might be actually like 13 years.
Yes.
All right. Well, that, listen, life moves pretty fast. Unless you're in the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I don't think time's ever moved this slow, but when you look back to days where you could congregate, it seems so long ago. So, I mean, it moves pretty fast. So, yeah, I saw the Police 13 years ago. But I don't, like, I've never seen a show at a football stadium. I've never, like, when I was a kid, I went to Joe Louis Arena and saw Judas Priest, and I saw Def Leppard. But I think other than that, I've never been to another arena show either. Oh, no, Rush.
See, I've seen that's not the football stadium. That's like a basketball stadium.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a big show for me. And then I watched one Van Halen song before I left.
Which, once again, I think was a decade ago. I think that was a long, long time ago that we did that.
Well, listen, what do you want out of me? Well, I don't do a lot of stuff.
I went to – it was weird because I'm not a big fan of having to drive too far because, you know, when you live in the city, it's nice. You can drink and you can take public transportation home. But I found myself at Gillette Stadium, I think, like 3 to 4 times over the past couple of years. And to be quite honest, it was – they did – it's better than you think it's going to be. Like I saw U2 there, but I also went to that Metallica show a couple of years ago, which was insane. Also, I was going to see Rammstein this summer there, which would have been amazing. And that's been canceled. Damn COVID-19. We were all robbed the chance to see more pyro on one stage than has ever been put on a stage before. That was the claim to fame for the show. Who cares about the music? There's fire. Well, there is going to be, speaking of being entertained, Fred, I need your opinion on this because, like Seth MacFarlane,
I do.
Family Guy fan, he is doing something that I can't think this is going to be good or it's going to be awful. So it is called the At Home Variety Show. And it is, I guess it started this past week and I didn't even see it, but it's going to run for 4 weeks. It's where he introduces a bunch of different peak celebrities doing like acts of talent and skill. And the participants are people like Elizabeth Banks. I'm looking at the names here. Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell. She'll be on there. Andy Cohen, Terry Crews, who I think is very funny. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Will Forte.
He has an old West town in his backyard. Dale Earnhardt
Who's
Jr.,
that?
Did you know that?
No.
I did not know that.
He has his own, him and Willie Nelson both have old West in their backyards. But Seth MacFarlane.
Fry?
They really got all the stars. So between Bruce. Elizabeth, she had breast reduction. But Seth MacFarlane has this habit where he insists on singing like old standards. So like he'll sing like, you know, these corny songs from like the 40s with a big band. And I bet you that there's some of that going on. And then you're just like, ew. It's like when Steve Martin plays the banjo and you just, why are you doing this? Like I saw Martin Short and who I love and Steve Martin, their show at the Wilbur. And when Steve Martin started playing the banjo, I think a quarter of the crowd left, including myself. I think we've lost Rich.
No, I'm here. That was the big comedy show thing. I you know, it's funny. I wanted to go see Bill Murray because he was coming with this, like, it was like a trio that flute, but he would do poems. Did you remember this thing that came in concert? It was like supposed to be Bill Murray. I'm like, wow, Bill Murray in concert, how amazing is this going to be? But he basically read poems about baseball while a guy played a flute and a woman played a violin.
Maybe he was just seeing what people will sit through.
Hey there, Willie.
Right. Well, they no, that's Billy Crystal.
No, I know.
But Bill Murray.
No, I know. But just Billy Crystal has got the more market cornered on that. He does a one-man show. Hey there, Willie.
Hey, Willie. How you doing there, Willie? Well, we were talking yesterday about the top sports video games, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was on there. Well, it just happens to be the day we talked about it. It was announced that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 are being remastered for the PS4, Xbox One, and the PC. They're going to be available on September 4th. I remember it being a very fun game, but I remember it being one that I am not really like going to run to download. Like, that doesn't seem like a...
It's just so frustrating.
I'm dying for that.
That game is so frustrating because you get through the first couple levels and then it's just impossible. Even if you like cheat and like look on the internet on how to do stuff, it's still like impossible to do. That game is so... It's too difficult. It's like Madden. Is that we have Madden and my son and I never play it because it's not Fortnite, which I can't understand either. I don't understand any of it. Except that I just hear screaming and howling from upstairs when we're at home, and it's him playing Fortnite with God knows who. We say, do you know the guy? And he goes, well, it was a friend of a friend.
Oh, boy.
You go, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, that's not good. Not good. Well, Google and Facebook have permitted their staff to work remotely until 2021, and Twitter said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to let our workers work home forever. I'm not joking. That was an actual thing that they released yesterday, that Twitter has told their employees that they can keep working home forever if they wish. And to that, I'm sure they all said, yes, we wish. The company said that if employees are in a role and the situation enables them to work from home and they want to continue to do it forever, they will, quote, make that happen. So
that seems like, that seems like something that sounds like a good idea, and then like 6 months into it, you're pacing back and forth talking to yourself.
Yeah, ultimately, the walls have to close in at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not meant to be inside forever. You got to go outside, see sunshine, move around. You can't be inside forever. I agree with Fred. You can't work from home forever. You got to go somewhere.
By the way, I read an article yesterday about how parents are trying to find their happy place during all of this. And the number one thing that has come out where – there's a little bit of isolation, and where if you could like measure your mood and how, when it's at its highest, at its peak, it's when people are waiting in parking lots. They said that people have found their happiness picking up to-go food, and that time where they sit parking, I think some crazy percentage, like 5% to do that, stay in the parking lot for longer than they have to, so they don't have to go, just for a little bit of quiet. So there you go. There's a cheat. To go food, get there way too early, stay there way too late, and then bring it on home.
There you go.
Yeah.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.